We have ESPN's golf analyst, Michael Collins. Michael, welcome into the golf shop.
Boy, that is a little scary, the love fest coming back. That hammer is a break, boy.
I will tell you, greenie is peaches.
Y'all need some more alone time.
I'm peaches and he's hitting the herb.
Well, this is definitely my kind of golf show then. Here we go.
Yeah, man, let's turn it up to 11.
Oh, Michael.
Yeah, 420 somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. It is. We had a little interesting thing going on this week. It was the article that nobody really knew about until Tiger responded to it. First off, what was your impression in reading the Dan Jenkins article?
The first thing I thought was exactly what you said. I didn't even know the article was out there.
I know.
And a lot of people in the golf industry who follow golf missed it.
You know why? Because it's November.
And that, too, because of where it was in the magazine.
Yeah.
Like, it was so buried in the back. I actually went through the magazine, like, two or three times and was like, "This, you know what? It's not in here. It's not here." And then, it's when you got to go to the front, look at the index, and then you're looking at the page number. All right, 122.
Yeah. And
here it is.
Nobody said there would be math.
Yeah. It was crazy. And then after When I read the initial headline, the first thing I thought to myself was, well, anyone who reads this, just the regular Joe Schmo golfer, might not understand that asterisk.
Right.
And then read the whole
Precisely.
Topic. Like, so they're going to think this is a real interview.
Right.
So that was my first impression. And then in reading it, it was one of those where I thought, and I said this many times, parody is not funny if there's venom in it.
Right.
So Jenkins and Woods don't have a relationship. So it's not like he was making fun of a buddy of his. It's not like when Frank Caliendo does Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
Or it's not like, you know.
Or Bradshaw, although they don't seem to like each other.
That's what I mean. Like, you can tell when someone's making fun of someone else, and he's not doing it to be mean. Like, there's times when you laugh and you go, man, that is really mean, right? Like, you might laugh, but it's not the same kind of laugh as when you go, wow, that's just really funny. And that's kind of how this came across to me, where you go, wow, this is kind of mean. And then you throw the pictures of the guy who looks a lot
yes,
like
he
Tiger
does.
Woods.
Yes.
He looks like, if you're just paging through it, you're like, oh, wow, there's a picture of Tiger Woods. And then you look close and you're like, wow, that's a picture of a Tiger Woods in a diner. And wait a minute. And he's holding the Perkins Cup. Then you go, hold on. And you go, hold on. Wait, that's not Tiger.
Right. It seems.
But glancing at it quick, you go, hey, that looks just like Tiger.
For me, my first impression when I read it was, number one, it wasn't really even funny. And number two, it's like, if you take the context of that back and forth, and if you make it, let's just say, you know, for fun's sake, because we've had the teenage girl reference lately, if you make it on Facebook with a teenage girl, it becomes bullying to me, in a sense.
Well, that's exactly what I said on First Take, was that from when he first came out on tour, Dan Jenkins has been a bully to Tiger Woods.
That's true. Based on our current standard for that. Yeah, I mean, that's... For sure. You know, Michael, it's funny. I come from a very traditional media background, and my first thought was, as a former publisher of the sports, you know, the motorsports group at Sporting News, I was like, you can't do this. It's irresponsible to run an interview that's not real, for starters, that is not clearly defined as satire, and put it, it just was irresponsible. That was the first thing. It took me a long time to get past that. And then I put my editor's hat on. I'm like, satire in print is hard to do. Fake an interview, if you're doing it on Saturday Night Live, everybody gets it. It's really hard to do. And this thing was an epic fail on the funny meter.
And it's not that it's hard to do, but it's like you said, if I'm the editor of a magazine, what's going to be in bold print? Dan Jenkins' fake interview with Tiger Woods, with fake being as bold as possible.
They botched it, and I understand. Hey, it's off. It, you know, it's November. No one really is talking about golf. Golf. You know, the magazine's trying to get a lift out of it. You know, Jenka's 84 now.
So,
you know,
hold on. Here's the conspiracy. Here's the conspiracy to that. Not just the magazine. Tiger never responds to anything. No one was talking about his tournament before this.
Right.
Everybody's talking about it now. Nobody was going to go to his tournament. Nobody was going to thinking about going to his tournament before this. Everybody's going to his tournament now.
Hold on, Michael. Hold on. Hold on. Are you coming to us from, you know, are you coming to us from the grassy knoll? Is that what you're telling me? Is that, are you calling us from the grassy knoll?
As a guy who did 20 years of stand-up comedy professionally, and then a guy who caddied on the PGA Tour for 10 years before I got onto the dark side of media, I look at things in a total perspective now. So I'm not one guy to go, this is just blank's fault, or this is just that. This side is the side that's wrong, or this side. Like, there are times when you look at everything completely and totally and go, well, this part is wrong, but then this part, they used it to their favor.
Sure, it stinks and of self-interest.
I'm just going to say it doesn't hurt. But I will say this. Like, I think even if this happened in January or at Christmas after his tournament was over, at some point when someone bullies you enough, you punch them in the face.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this was Tiger being able to punch this dude in the face. And it's like, I look at it like, you know, if Don Zimmer wouldn't have charged the mound, Pedro Martinez wouldn't have thrown that dude on the ground.
No, right? That's true.
At one point, you're like, wow, man, come on, Pedro. How are you going to throw an old man down on the ground like that? But then you got to think, well, wait a minute. Why is the old man?
Why is he running at me?
What are you doing?
So does that make the Hero World Challenge coming up soon even that much more intriguing now?
I don't think it makes the golf any intriguing. No one's going to care what happens on the golf course, but everyone right now is going to be talking about that press conference. And this is the other thing where it was irresponsible from, and I have to be really careful. You got to be careful because we are media too.
Yes,
so
we are.
So we're throwing stones in a glass house.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. If I'm the editor of a magazine and I'm going to allow something like this to happen, what do I think the repercussions to the guys who are out at tournaments every week are going to be who have to try and interview Tiger?
Yep.
You think Golf Digest or Golf World, you think they're getting another interview with Tiger?
No, you have to be careful about pooping where you eat.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, you know, John Feinstein came to Dan Jenkins' defense. Of course, Feinstein's getting paid by Golf Digest, and he's never going to get an interview with Tiger anyway, so that all makes sense, too.
Well, it's easy for the people that you know, exactly, the people that aren't going to get an interview with Tiger and you know, kind of have a vested interest, it's easy for them to come to the defense. It was like, it was the whole thing, the same issue happened with Ted Bishop.
Yeah.
And there was fake outrage about that. And I said, give me one player from the LPGA Tour or one women's group that didn't have a vested interest that came out saying they were outraged and horrified, and there was no one.
Like, yeah.
No WNBA player came out. No one from the women's tennis tour came out and was outraged about what Ted Bishop said. The only people that came out and said something were people that had a vested interest in it. And
yeah.
I was like, that's fake outrage.
Yeah,
and that's kind of where the people coming to Dan Jenkins' defense are now. It's like, you know, well, people that don't have a vested interest in, I'm going to say what Dan Jenkins can say, whatever he wants to. And not to take away from, Dan Jenkins is one of the greatest,
yes, he is,
funniest golf writers and sports writers that has ever been, ever.
And I think that's why there's so much disappointment from a lot of us, because honestly, I mean, I felt like I could have written that article in 10 minutes. And for one of the greatest golf writers ever to put something like that out, it's disappointing more than anything to me.
That's the thing, is that it was a little bit of a letdown where so much of that venom came out, and it also then makes you look at him in a different way.
Well, but we had this.
I look at him now, and when he writes something like that, especially about Tiger, it makes me step back and go, well, at his age and coming from his background, you know, there's a card that you don't want to throw on the table. At least I don't want to throw on the table, but it makes me at least now pull it out of the deck and hold it.
Does he get the crazy old man hall pass if Tiger doesn't respond? I mean,
because
the article got very little coverage until there was a response to it. Do you read it and you go, you know what, he's a crazy old man. And
if Tiger doesn't respond to it and it finds its way out there, now, I mean, slowly but surely it would have bled out, but it would have been very, it wouldn't have been the bam factor. Like, it would have been like, oh, man, hey, did you see the thing that Dan Jenkins wrote? They're like, it's done. Like, he's done. Like, okay, I guess Twitter's his last spot now. Which, you know, like, he's got a dude that sits next to him that he, like, just says stuff, and that guy has to tweet it out.
Yeah, we're giving him just 100 or so characters at a time and a couple of hashtags.
Yeah. Like, you got 140 characters, and that's good enough. Like, now it's just say some cute grandfatherly stuff. Like, you know. Like, now you get to be the drunk uncle at a party.
Yeah, with the hall pass. Everyone, yeah, we're all going to see that guy on Thursday. It's Thanksgiving week. We're all going to see the crazy uncle.
Everyone left you up to a point, but don't let him near the grill. You know what I mean? Okay.
Again, we're talking with ESPN's Michael Collins. And, Michael, now, does this make Tiger's reemergence in his own tournament a little more important from a golf perspective for him? I mean, you know, now that this is out on the table, does he have to kind of show up and play well?
No.
Okay.
No. Not at all. And the trick for Tiger still is going to be just to get your feet wet playing in competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to remember, this isn't a real PGA Tour event. You know, it's not going to define where you're going to be next year. And I think for him is, how do you hold up for four rounds? Because that was the other thing, and this has always been the problem with golfers that are injured. When they go, yeah, I'm coming back, I'm 100%. No, you're 100% for one day.
Right.
You're not 100% for 4 days and a practice round. You know, and then they go, oh, you know, I wasn't ready. Duh. That's because you played one solid round, and you were like, yeah, see, I got it. And then the next day you're like, oh, it's killing me. Again, it hurts. It hurts a little bit. So I think that's what he has to do, is just use it as a gauge for how much more – work do I have to do so that I can have five solid days? And people go, wait, there's only four rounds of golf. Yes, but you're required to play a pro-am. So that's 5 days of golf. Not necessarily competitive, 4 days competitive, but one day where you're still doing the same strain on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, you know, if my dream for Tiger would be just for him to play this event and then for us to not see him again until maybe Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
Next year.
Well,
because I want to see this Tiger Woods at 100% against Rory at 100% and Adam Scott at 100% and Bubba at 100%. I don't want to see a 70% or a 60 or a 40 like we've seen recently. Like, I don't want Tiger at 40%. I know we're not going to see Tiger from 2000. Like, I know that Tiger Woods is gone and is never coming back, and I'm okay with that. I just want to see this Tiger Woods at 100% for a season, and let's see what this dude has.
Well, Michael, before we let you go, maybe not related to Tiger, What golf event are you most looking forward to on the 2015 season? We looked at this a little earlier in the show. What's the first event you're up for?
Masters, man.
That's what I said. It signals the start of spring.
I mean, seriously? With a chance to complete the Grand Slam? I mean, come on. Come on. Let's do the ESPN thing. Come on, man.
See, Michael, I thought that was the easy answer. My answer was the first tournament that Tiger wins, because I just want him to stick it in everybody's face. That was my answer.
Yeah, but what if Tiger doesn't win an event until July?
That's okay.
Going to make for hard radio every Saturday morning with you.
Like, are you still waiting for that super date with the prom queen from high school? Like,
yes, he is.
No, because I think the win's coming before the Masters. That's why I say for Tiger's first win. I mean, if it's going to happen.
Realistically, that would happen would be either Torrey Pines or Arnold Palmer.
Exactly.
Maybe Doral?
One of those three.
But see, Doral has a total, it's been totally redesigned, which is exactly why he didn't play well there before. So, like, the only places that he has success where he's really dominated would be Torrey Pines or Doral. And, like, Torrey Pines now, since they got the redo of all the greens, you can throw that one out the window now, too.
I still think it's, I think it's Jax. I mean, I think it's Arnie's tournament. I think it's Bay Hill. I think Bay Hill is where he wins.
Well, really?
Well, and yes, according to Dan Jenkins, he did pretty well at Perkins.
Yeah, but are we talking about winning or scoring?
Sometimes it could be the same.
Yeah.
Now, that's funny. See, when you say something like the difference between winning and scoring, that's funny.
That is funny, right.
Because Tiger's a friend. So he, even if he was listening to this, like, he would shake his head and throw an F-bomb at me. But he also knows that if I make fun of him, like, I'm doing it just for that. Like, I'm just making fun of a friend. I'm not doing it to go, yeah, boy.
Yeah, it's not mean. Yep, not right, mean-spirited. There's a huge difference.
Man, I hate that dude so much. I can't. Every time I get the stomach, stick him. Every time I get a chance. Like, that's not. It's a different. You laugh at stuff like that differently, too.
What, you mean Tiger's not listening to this?
Yeah, but come on. Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, come on. I got good news and bad news. He was not listening, nah. But, like, if we said something or you guys said something that was really over the top and really controversial, like, you know, you don't want to end up on another platform where now your boss is calling you going, hey, why don't y'all take the next 6 months off? Right? Like, you'd be like, true, hey, Tiger heard what we said. You know, we ain't got a job, but yeah, check it out.
Yeah, we're limited to Twitter.
That is so awesome. Hey, my Instagram account got shut down. I didn't know anybody else had my password.
I was hacked. Oh, well, Michael, man, we really appreciate you hopping on with us this morning. We hope to talk to you again soon, man.
Anytime. Well, you got my number now, so, you know, you can bug me whenever you want to. I'm just happy that someone finally asked to talk to me when it's not the week of a major. Because everyone wants to talk to me, Masters, U.S. Open, British. But then, you know, Sanderson's Farms, John Deere, no one calls.
We'll call you. We'll call you.
We'll hook you up the week of the John Deere. We got you. We're penciling you in.
Perfect, man. I do lawn work. Whatever it takes, man. I mow the grass. I got John Deere.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thanks, boys.
All right. That's Michael Collins, ESPN golf analyst. That's awesome. I mean, yeah.
I love a different perspective. And